Well, with two recent mass shootings, we want to spend a few minutes today looking at emergency medical response. The fire chief in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where the Sikh temple shooting took place, is praising his crews. More than 60 paramedics and EMTs rushed to the scene in 22 fire trucks and ambulances during that daytime shooting. But after the just after midnight theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado last month, many ambulances in the area remained idle. Police were begging the dispatchers for them. Turns out many of the ambulances in Aurora are privately owned, and there are also city paramedics who ride on city fire trucks to emergencies. What difference does that make? Why does Boston, for instance, keep a firewall, if you will, between emergency medical service and firefighting? Well, our next guest says the ambulance system is fragmented and a public policy disaster across the country. In Philadelphia, police transport as many as a third of shooting victims to the hospital. In Detroit, last New Year's Eve, an ambulance broke down in the middle of a gun shootout.
Radio, this is Medic 9. We're out of service mechanical. We're at Ford Street and Dragoon. Our truck has died.
Listen to that. Scott Phelps is an experienced paramedic who's now professor of disaster science at the Emergency Management Academy in New York. Let's spend a few minutes with him. And Scott, USA Today did a survey in 2005 and found most big city emergency medical systems are fragmented and slow, and they concluded 1,000 people who could have been saved died as a result. By the way, they lauded Boston. We're going to get to that. But what is the national system? You know, who owns ambulances? How does it work?
Well, that's one of the interesting things in America is that there is no standardized model of ambulance service. What drives ambulance service is not so much who provides it, but the funding mechanism that funds it defines a lot of the structures that we end up with.
And remind us that different payment to ambulances depending on whether they're putting into Medicaid, Medicare, insurance. So what is, just briefly, give us some of the funding questions.
Well, most ambulance systems in the U.S. are funded by a combination of Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. But the problem is that all three of them only pay for the actual transport of the patient. To make it worse, Medicare will only pay for the actual time spent transporting. So all the time the ambulances spend standing by is not paid for by anyone. It's a stranded cost.
Even if they may be standing by, for instance, while workers give somebody insulin or diabetic glucose would be the case if that were the situation. If they're caring for the patient but the ambulance isn't moving, they don't get paid?
They don't get paid a dime. Mm-hmm. So unless the person actually gets transported in the ambulance, there's no money available.
Well, and by the way, who's putting in for this money? So are these publicly owned ambulances or privately owned?
It's both.
Okay.
There's a variety of systems across the U.S. There's public systems. There are third service nonprofit systems. There's hospital ambulance systems, and there's private systems. And it all depends on where you live, what kind of system you have. For example, in the county where I live, in Westchester County, New York, there is literally every kind of ambulance provider you could think of. We have police department paramedics. We have fire department paramedics. We have private service paramedics. We have nonprofit service paramedics. We have government special district paramedics, all within one county, just north of New York City.
Somebody might say, well, great, you've got a lot to choose from, but what's the problem with that?
The problem is the way ambulance systems are funded. So, for example, in Aurora, while every fire engine has a paramedic on it, so there was plenty of care available on the scene during the Aurora shooting, the fact that the private ambulance company has to rely to a large extent on billing Medicare and Medicaid means they're not going to staff a dozen ambulances just to have them standing by. They have to staff the amount of ambulances that are going to be reasonably active based on the normal demand patterns,
right,
which means there's no fat in the system.
For situations, emergencies like Aurora. And you just mentioned something else. Aurora does have a paramedic on every fire truck and limited ambulances. We understand that this is a shift in thinking, that cities are shifting to having a paramedic ride with town firefighters, and they're cutting back on ambulances. But why is that happening? Because we're also reading that fires are down in big cities, while medical emergencies are up. It would seem like you'd want more ambulances, fewer fire trucks.
Well, that is true. But and as Alan Brunicini, who is the former fire chief of Phoenix, once said, you know, most fire services in America are ambulance systems that occasionally fight a fire. The reason we have more firefighters providing EMS is because they have less to do, so they can take on a new mission, and also because laying off firemen is a political non-starter in most of the country. So 11,000 firefighters responded to 45,000 fires in New York City last year, and they get 75% of the fire department's budget. At the same time, the civilian employees of the fire department who do EMS work, there are 3,000 paramedics, and they respond to 1.2 million calls a year with 14% of the fire department's budget.
This has been turf war. I mean, coming back to Boston, the USA Today says Boston has such a good system now because Mayor Menino fought the firefighter unions, didn't let them take over emergency services, and created and supported a separate system. So they are being lauded for that. But just address the concern a listener might have that, well, of course you think firefighters shouldn't be doing this because you're a paramedic, and it's about jobs.
Actually, I don't think that at all. I think that you can have a system where you have firefighter paramedics. The problem is that the resources are not going to the ambulance system, whether it's a fire department system or a private system. I'm not going to say we have too many fire trucks, but we certainly don't have enough ambulances, no matter who's operating the system. And the reason we don't have enough ambulances is because the funding drives the numbers of ambulances that are available down.
Well, what do you think of what happened in Boston?
I think Boston has had a tradition of having a very high quality system, and there's a balancing act between having enough paramedics to meet the need and them having enough calls to actually maintain their skills. In Boston, typically, they haven't had enough paramedic ambulances to meet all the need. In contrast, in Aurora, and I'm just using Aurora as an example, there's probably too many paramedics, because having a paramedic on every engine means every individual paramedic doesn't get a lot of experience treating a lot of sick people. Places like New Jersey are probably the best crafted model, where you have two paramedics in a non-transport vehicle, like a Bronco or a Jimmy, positioned throughout the state. And then if it's a paramedic call, they treat them and go to the hospital with the community ambulance, and if it's not, they go back in service. So in New Jersey and Delaware and parts of New York, the paramedics get an extremely high call volume, but that's also because they're not having to transport people who aren't very sick.
Well, that's interesting. And so the cost for New Jersey is the driver of the car. They don't have to staff every car with a medical team. They've got a roving team that goes and meets up with the ambulance.
Right. More highly trained paramedics only have to respond to critical events and then only have to go to the hospital with people who are seriously ill.
Scott Phelps, experienced paramedic, who's now professor of disaster science at the Emergency Management Academy in New York. So with the stories we've just heard, you now know why a fire truck may show up at your house if you called 911 for an ambulance. But when we come back, why an ambulance with a crew in a small town close to Aurora, Colorado, was not called in, it's actually a good reason. That's in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're taking a look at emergency response systems in the U.S. following the two recent mass shootings. We're talking to Scott Phelps, professor of disaster science, a former paramedic who teaches at the Emergency Management Academy in New York. There's a trend across the country to put paramedics on fire trucks and cut back on ambulance services, even as there are fewer fires and more uninsured people using 911 for basic medical care. Here in Boston, that tension between firefighters and ambulance crews over those more plentiful medical calls was leading to turf wars, and Mayor Tom Menino separated medical and fire response. But Scott, back to the theater shooting in Colorado. Aurora is one of the cities that puts paramedics on fire trucks and limits ambulances. There are also private ambulance companies, but you told us they can't afford to keep paramedics in ambulances around the clock because they're only reimbursed by Medicare, Medicaid, and insurance companies for the time spent transporting people, not caring for them. But there was also an off-duty crew from a nearby town asleep at the time of the Aurora shootings. Wasn't called. Explain that.
Typically what happens is many systems, not all, but many systems, try to use a bullseye approach where they'll take the local ambulances from that community and then they'll start sort of hopscotching around, which is what apparently is what happened in Aurora is after they sent all the Aurora ambulances, they started calling Denver for ambulances. Rather than relying on the smaller community where the crew was still there, they tried to get ambulances from Denver Health and Hospitals and then from the other larger communities around the area because they have more vehicles and they could send you three ambulances while still keeping several ambulances in Denver, several ambulances in those other areas. So that way there's still at least some ambulance coverage while they're able to respond to Aurora at the same time.
As you watch this as an expert in disaster science, are there lessons learned or is this just one of those impossible, you know, darned if you do, darned if you don't?
You know, these situations are always incredibly chaotic. And trying to figure out sort of the best thing to do requires patient, slow analysis. And the truth is, there are things probably structurally they could change, and they probably will change. But overall, the situation wasn't as out of normal boundaries as I think many people perceived.
Well, what about what Boston is doing, for instance? Mayor Tom Menino is being credited for improving response time by hiring a medical director to coordinate all the various ambulance crews.
Well, one of the things that we need to get better at is coordinating ambulance service into a single system. And some cities have done that, whether it's emergency ambulance or non-emergency ambulance service. But coordinating ambulance service is fairly complicated. You know, they're in competition for the different contracts to provide service to hospitals and nursing homes. Though I have to say, having worked as a paramedic for 25 years, as a rule of thumb, people are really very nice and very cooperative with each other, at least at, you know, the ground level. It's only sometimes at the political level where there's more problems.
Well, you say people are very nice and very cooperative, but I just want to go back to what was happening here in Boston before the mayor separated, you know, firefighting and EMS. There were turf wars. There were fist fights, apparently, between firefighters and ambulance drivers and ambulance crews showing up at the same scene.
Well, you can certainly understand that because, well, you can't understand that as a member of the public, but if your job was threatened because things weren't burning and you realized you were becoming redundant, you would get very anxious about finding something else to do as well. So it's not that the fire service can't or even shouldn't provide ambulance service. The problem is if you're going to provide it from the public sector, from the fire service in particular, you have to make sure that the fire service is willing to dedicate the resources to providing ambulance service effectively. That's not what we typically see with the fire service in the United States. And it's not that there aren't fire systems that are world class. It's that when you have a fire culture, which is run by people who come from the suppression side, they want to keep most of the resources and the organization's focus on fire suppression, no matter whether they're doing EMS stuff or not.
Just a quick question. We heard on those terrible recordings, police saying, you know, asking permission to take wounded in their own cars. In Philadelphia, they have that permission, and as we said, they take a lot of shooting victims. Is that a question of unevenness across the country?
Philadelphia is a very specific example, and Detroit as well. Their EMS systems in both of those cities has basically failed because, once again, they don't have enough ambulances. Detroit's mayor promised 2 years ago to buy dozens more ambulances, and as of today, they still don't have them. Philadelphia has traditionally had the busiest single ambulance in the United States, which I think does more than 10,000 calls a year. A single ambulance.
One ambulance. Well, Scott Phelps, finally, what I'm hearing from you is that you think there's too much of a patchwork quilt of the way cities respond to emergency services. It's different all across the country. And that you're also saying there are not enough ambulances to put the role of emergency medical services on the backs of the firefighters. How would you change things? I mean, it's not a climate where people want to see sort of a federally mandated national response to ambulances. So what would you want to see?
If we had a rational payment system where Medicare and Medicaid actually paid something closer to the actual cost of providing service, we would actually have a much better system. If we could couple that with a system where there was some sort of payment for quality, that would radically improve the system. Because right now, if you have an ambulance service that does the bare minimum, they get paid one rate. And if you have an outstanding ambulance service that is world class, they get paid exactly the same amount. So EMS organizations are competing exclusively on price and not on quality. And that's the problem in America.
Scott Phelps, professor of disaster science at the Emergency Management Academy in New York. Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, of course, we want to hear your thoughts. Are you a firefighter who feels medical care is perfectly fine from your truck, or do you think it should be the job of ambulances? Go to hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Latest news is next, Here and Now.